Well, one thing I know about this approach that I've taken regarding prayer is that just every single starting point that I begin with, I can somehow or another mold it and shape it into some way to increase my faithful prayer life. I know we liked, I want to just say Jonah because that's three times in a row, three Wednesdays in a row, but we talked about how Jonah, we didn't even get to the last few chapters, and I didn't really even prepare to talk about that tonight, but, you know, how we are in here, how we develop our heart, how do we develop our Christian walk of life, and how we grow as a Christian will basically be manifest in how we discuss or talk and pray to God. And that's very apparent with Jonah. It's very apparent with other examples in the Bible that we talked about several times. We talked about prayers that were offered from David to Hannah to Jonah to Jesus, Paul, Peter. You know, you can just see their prayer, Cornelius, I'm sorry, I didn't mention him. Their prayers were offered. God's will was done, but their prayer aligned more with God's will when their heart was conditioned appropriately. And I think there was a comment last week about how difficult it was to actually go against the will of God and how easy it would be. May not be easy, but it would be a simpler, cleaner life if you would just adhere to the will of God. So tonight we're going to talk about one aspect I think we should pray about more often than not. And I have so many of these items on my list of things I want to talk about. And this one really hit the top of the list for me. This is about servanthood. And, you know, we're going to go into where Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Now, I didn't have enough time to really think about why in the world was John the only one that actually reported on this event. I don't know why the other Gospels didn't, but I'm glad it happened in John. I'm glad John reported on it because, to me, it's a real pivotal point about exactly what position God takes in our life and what position he's asking us to take. And I think that a lot of times, and when I have to think and talk about things, I'm thinking about myself, obviously. When you get up here, you have to kind of communicate what a whole, but my struggle with in prayer, I believe that we are so used to learning by example a certain pattern of prayer. I mean, we start with one way, just like the Lord's Prayer. It was a prayer that the disciples were like, you know, hey, look, for a long time we've let the priest do this. We don't get it. We don't know how to approach God. Jehovah is not something we even want to say the word, or we'll be risk of being stoned, you know. So how do we talk to God? What is the model? So early on, you know, you get this model, but for us as growing Christians, our prayer life can become so much more deep. I think the fundamentals are definitely got to be there, but the depth of our prayers are important, especially for our internal peace and our growth. So getting back to just learning the start and the stop. I mean, I was going to make a cheeky comment about a lot of times growing up, I thought you couldn't even leave church without a prayer. That was like unlocking the door, you know. You had just the prayer happened and then everybody left. That's how it worked. You know, there was an order to everything. Don't change the order. You know, it's like we really are hungry, but somebody pray. That was kind of like what would happen. This is the rule. You got to pray before you eat. It's not exactly wrong to be like that, but I mean, we got to some kind of a, growing up as a child, I could see that it was just a box that you checked. It wasn't, the depth wasn't there. And I think the depth can really be there if you really get into the scripture and you can turn a story into something that you pray about. Because Jesus is telling us in here, look, these are what I want from you. This is what I want. And why wouldn't you want to pray about something Jesus wants from you? So we're going to talk about prayer as it reflects or as it equates to servanthood. How do we expand on our prayer life and deep dive into servanthood, or use you could pick some of these attributes and pray about that God wants us to do, and you can just spend an entire year praying about that. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the tool we have, and we should be utilizing it. But let's begin with, I'm going to just read this before I go to John chapter 13, but this is Matthew 5:43. I'll just read it. You have heard that it said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward? If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brother only, what more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. The hard thing to do is to pray for your enemies and people that persecute you. And when we read John 13 about Jesus washing the disciples' feet, that is something that is mind-blowing to some of the disciples. So let's go into it real quick. John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world and loved them to the end, and that the supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas. I want you to pay attention to that. Jesus knew this. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things, given all things into his hands, and that he had come to God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel which he had girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said, Lord, you're washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you don't understand now, but you will after this. Peter said to him, you should never wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you won't have any part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he washed their feet, taking his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Well, I'm going to stop right there. We're given some promises here regarding how we interpret what he's saying, and how we're given basically a footprint here to be able to look at a hole at people. And those that are good to us, it's easy to say, hello, how are you doing? Is there anything I can do for you? But it's the ones that you know are not easy to deal with that you should say, hello, how are you doing? What can I do for you? Now, this is the thing that I think is a great thing to pray about a lot. In a dynamic world that we're in right now with division and changes, the best thing our children can see is us praying to be a servant to others, loving others, not just the easy ones, but the hard ones, and not just praying, but actually working through and saying, I'm going to do something about that. I'm going to be nice to someone that was not nice to me, and I'm going to be fulfilled and enriched by that. And I think that when we're reading this, it is so hard to comprehend, first of all, that God, as a man, takes an opportunity to, at the very, very soon, he knows he's going to be crucified for us. And all the bad things that happen with that. But he knows that's going to happen. He knows that he's got a one inside of his midst that's going to betray him, that he loved. And he takes the position of I'm going to show you how to become humble and serve. And he does it in a way that is life-changing. Now, servanthood without a good attitude is really not servanthood. But they could see that he loved them by doing this. This was a special act. This was an act of love in that day and time. We have several examples of when Jesus' feet were washed by... there was, I think, two occasions, and I may be wrong. I'm just trying to think from memory here. One with special perfumes, and the other was, I may be wrong about that. I was thinking more Mary and Martha. Help me out with that. I think there was twice someone washed Jesus' feet, and it was a big deal. Is that right? Help me with it. Mary was, right. I wasn't wrong about that.
Didn't call it a bottle of nard?
Yeah, it was an expensive bottle of perfumes, and she was rebuked by that, I believe by Judas itself. I think Judas was not happy about the fact that she blew that money on Jesus's.
And then there was another one that I think was maybe a prostitute. It's not
named. The lady was not named. That's probably, I'm going to just say that's why I don't remember. But the point is that there were intimate times that those people shared their love for Jesus. And Jesus, in return, at this moment in time, took this humble position with the people that he'd been with and showed them, look, you got to take care of each other. And the people in there, one of them was not one that was going to take care of Jesus. There was no reciprocation there. But don't forget, Jesus knew Peter was going to betray him. And I would imagine there was a lot on Jesus' mind at that time. And to take that time and to actually sit down and do that on his knees, puts the perspective of, hey, we are busy. We have a lot of things going on that are important to us. Maybe some tough things are going to happen. But look at this example. It's not as important as showing an act of service to someone. And there's where I believe stories like this can really benefit when you think about your prayer life. I think that I can't relate to Jesus. I'm not trying to relate, but I'm trying to think as a man to do that to my colleagues at work or a group of friends of mine. It's just not a comfortable position to be in at all. And I think that we should pray for, you know, just to feel comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Now, I wanted to bring this up because these are the kind of things I think when we study the Bible, you can look at these things and see some of these truths that and these promises that are given. And don't forget to think about that and say, okay, this is something maybe I should pray for. Maybe I should be looking more deeply to pray about these things. Looking for a promise that's given, a command that's given, and maybe not saying, okay, good command, but maybe stopping at a command or a promise and saying, you know, this is where I can expand on my prayer life. There's a lot of examples of these types of things in the Bible, but this one was one I felt like if you begin to develop a sincere servant's heart, it will help propel you into a deeper faithful meaning, deeper meaning of faith. I think that's the best way to put it. It says in verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." I think you should underline that in your book as one that you can put in the top of your list of one of the things that you want to pray about. I want to see this example and I want to benefit from it because it's the will of God. He's telling us right here, this is an example I'm giving you. Do it. Yes, I'm sorry.
I think you kind of, right, today, washing of feet is not a common practice. It was a servant's job back then.
Right.
Usually, they say it was the lowest servant's job because who wants to get to wash feet that have been walking around in nasty sandals on dirt roads all day? And here, Jesus says, I'm going to take the low way to the highway, if you will, to really show what we can be. I'm going to start off as low as you can be. Today, I've never seen anybody wash anybody's feet, except I watched a video or something a few years ago, and they were doing it in some religious group. I heard about a guy that he and his wife did it at their wedding to show their servant, which is all right, I guess, if you want to do it. But there's so many opportunities in our life today of things that if we're not careful, we tend to think, they're kind of below me. This is kind of below what I really need to do. And, you know, the old story I heard years ago about a guy that the CEO of a company went out, and when he took over, before he told anybody who he was, he one afternoon started at 4 o'clock cleaning the bathrooms in the office building. And seeing how his upper management treated him, thinking he was the janitor. They didn't know him. They just thought he was the janitor. And I think sometimes God gives us that opportunity to serve in something where nobody expects us to serve. And I hesitate to use any examples because I don't want to hit myself in the face too hard with it. But, you know, there are a lot of things we can think of, I think, that we think, well, that's somebody else's job, or that's a good work at church, but it's really not my thing. I don't think that if you read Jesus' job description when he came to earth, I don't think he'd put washing feet was going to be at the one of his required things. But he did it, and like I say now here, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it and trying to really wrap our minds around it, because it is such a, I mean, this is, these 12 men, they knew this was God. They knew this was God on earth. And he's washing their feet. And, I think whenever we think something is too much, you know, this is too low for me. This is not a, do they know who I am, how long I've been a Christian, how old I am? This is something somebody else ought to do. I think John 13 keeps coming back to my mind when I think about those things. And I do sometimes think those thoughts.
Well, it's there for us to remember those things. And I think that the disciples saw so many, the apostles saw so many examples of Christ being a servant to everyone. He healed those. He fed people. He ministered to a lot of people in just a short amount of time. And maybe they were just too busy in their mind with what was actually going on to really take advantage of seeing exactly what was happening. And we know that they didn't comprehend that he was God in a man's body. I mean, that was just hard for them to actually grasp. They never really ever had grasped that until he, and it took a while after he was risen. But, and you know, some, you know, it's just a really tough thing for a human to even comprehend, really. I mean, it is. But the acts of service were there. Whether they paid attention to them, I don't know. But at this point in time, this act of service, although it was feet washing, is an example. You know, he showed a willingness to be a servant to those that he was with. And that's what we should be focusing on. Not the actual act of washing a foot. I mean, that may be something that comes up one day or something, but, you know, putting aside busy lives, focusing on doing the uncomfortable to help another person, whether they be friend or foe, especially foe, is the act of embracing this and praying about it, intentionally praying about this, so that your faith can grow and you can become more of a servant.
I think that's why the wording of verse 15 is so important, just like Don was pointing out. Jesus said, "Do as I have done, not what I have done."
Right.
So that makes it a principle and not a precept.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is Jesus' way of saying, find ways that you can, in the context of your own culture, that you can be of service to others and then have the servant's heart that motivates you to do that.
Yeah, and I think that putting yourself in that position to purposely do that helps develop the attributes of a good Christian life. I think that's the part that I'm trying to drive home here. Again, yes. The practical application of this is to try to find something to help someone else. And don't forget the part of, hey, look, it's not just the people that you love the most that you're going to do this for. It's the people that are going to inconvenience you, and are people that are persecuting you, and you know, that are causing you a lot of grief. A practical example of this would be, there are situations in work where I have to engage with people and about tough things, and to really focus on how to make that contact, not the abrupt start. Maybe think through this, like, you know, what would be the right approach to begin this, and to go through those things, maybe more than, sometimes it takes me a month to think through that, to avoid any kind of further escalation of the problem. And sometimes it's best just to pray about it. It helps to calm the mind, and helps you think more clearly, especially in a less busy environment. You tend to declutter yourself from all the other distractions and focus primarily on this conversation that you're having with God, this request that you're having to God about a certain situation. But to act as a servant, I don't want to go off the rabbit hole, but the idea would be, is if I did it the wrong way, it's not a servant's heart. It's not the service part that we should take, you know, humbly dropping to your knee and taking that person's foot and washing. You know, that's just an analogy of it all. But to make a decision about how I interact with that person is really comes from the attitude you develop when you can do something that you're uncomfortable doing. When you pray about becoming more of a servant, and, you know, whether they deserve the honor or not. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah.
But we have to have a heart that wants to see.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to repeat this for the millions online. But to look for opportunities is really the best part about it, right? I mean, because once our body, our mind, our soul, and our spirit becomes accustomed to praying and looking, now you're starting to say, okay, I'm looking, and that's really important. When they entered in for the Feast of the Passover, I'm sure they probably stunk and their feet were dirty. And before you sit down to eat, it's the best thing to do. But, you know, he did it after they ate. That's not the time to do it, but it's the time he did it. And it made a big impression on me. I don't know. He looked for the opportunity. He knew it was a busy time, but he was focusing on the opportunity. He had lots of other things to think about. You know, he really wanted to go to God in prayer. That was coming up. It was a big deal. You know, I need you. Yes. Yeah.
Because if he had started this action as soon as they walked in the room, you know, they could have rationalized and said, well, I was going to do that, but the Lord didn't.
Yeah.
So maybe he was giving them opportunity, and when they didn't do it, he goes, now's the chance to show them what a servant's heart looks like.
And Randy, you're right. He did have to give them time to think, who's going to step up and do something? And you remember previously, he had to tell them where to go. He's like, go here, talk to this guy. I mean, it was like, come on, you guys you're my guys. Can't you find us a place to eat? I mean, don't make me do everything, you know? I can't believe it's already late. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So we need to look for dirty feet. That's a great point. I mean, not only do we take the initiative to look, but we need to look for the dirty feet.
And our service should be a practical need, not just for show.
Practical needs to show our service. Yeah. I mean, I know from this principle that this is the will of God. And, you know, you can go, well, it's the will of God. Whatever the will of God, you know, I'm going to just abide by that. I mean, you remember the Lord's Prayer, you know, acknowledgement that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But not specifically knowing yet maybe what that will is. Here we have one good example of what that would be. And I think that's worth praying about. Because the more we pray about stuff like this, the more we get used to doing it.
Context of the setting starts this chapter by, John starts this chapter by saying that the Lord loved these men, and he knew he was fixed to die. Whether they understood that fully or not, exactly, he had told them. But in wanting to teach them and help them, even in this conversation, who's the greatest? All that that's going on, he is going to, you know, then pray. There's prayer that we have, the opportunity to teach. But his heart was full of love. He loved these men.
Yeah.
And I got this much time, and I want to, because I love them so much, specifically to them. Not that he doesn't love all of us, but in that small context.
Yeah.
You know, this is
the But what hits home about that to me, the loving those men like he did, is the fact that there was one in there that he loved, that he asked to follow him, and he did, and he betrayed him. That's sad. And he knew his outcome, too. That's even sadder. So thank you very much. Next week, we'll go through a few more of these things to focus on, and I appreciate y'all being here tonight. Let's close with a prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for the examples you give us. We pray for a servant's heart. We pray that we look for opportunities. We pray that we look for practical ways to help people every day. Thank you so much for Jesus and the example he gives us. And in his name we pray. Amen.